Good morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number one. Hymn number one. We'll sing hymn number 224. 224.
Thank you.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would, open with me to two different scriptures. If you'll open to Lamentations chapter 3, and stick something over there to hold your place there, and then we're going to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Lamentations 3, and 2 Thessalonians 2. We'll begin in 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we'll turn over to Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 24. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most high and heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, all holy and all righteous one, we come to you through your blessed Son. Thank you for this day. We thank you for this word, this blessed promise. Lord, we thank you for causing us to be gathered here this morning. We thank you for the building we're gathered in. Lord, we thank you that you've put in our hearts to come here this morning with the hopes of hearing your gospel proclaimed. Lord, we thank you for that gospel. We thank you for such blessed peace found only in Christ. Lord, we pray that you would reveal that peace to us today through your word. I ask that you would be with Brother Obi as he stands before us, cause him to proclaim the gospel boldly and freely. Lord, we ask that you would establish us in grace, establish us in yourself, teach us thy way, Lord. I ask that you would increase our faith. Lord, we ask that you would continue to keep us coming back, keep us cleaving and believing into thy holy name. Lord, cause us to worship you here this day, if it be thy will. Let us not meet in vain. Lord, we remember those who are traveling, that you would be with them. We pray for your brethren wherever they are gathered together this morning, and for those who are unable to gather, Lord, that you would be with them. Be with your sheep wherever they may be. Cause thy word to go forth. Cause it to go to ears who have never heard you before, Lord, that you'd reveal yourself unto them as it would please you. Have mercy on whom you will. Lord, there are many who are weak and weary, and those who are sick, trialed, those who are going through tribulation, brokenhearted. Lord, be their comfort, be their grace. Give them grace to go each day, as we just read. You give grace anew each morning. Be their strength and their stay. Cause them to lean on the only one who has comfort, the only true comfort there is in this world. Lord, we ask that thy will be done for Christ's sake. Amen. Hymn number 40. Hymn number 40. Great is thy faith. Fill not. gonna stand together as we sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin. Delighted to have Brother O.B. Williams with us today. He'll be preaching this morning and this afternoon for us. It's been a while since you've been here. I think everybody here knows him, but if anybody doesn't, he used to sit right over there where I sit now. I kind of took his spot when he left on the media, but sure good to have you, and you come and bring whatever the Lord's put on your heart.
Old habits die very hard. We drove into the parking lot. It's been a while since I've been here. And immediately the vehicle wanted to go, this vehicle's never been here, but immediately it wanted to go to my parking spot. We're pulling in and I go, are we going in the front door or the back door? It's like, we always go in the back door. Abram said, yeah, we only go in the front door for weddings and funerals. We go in the back door. It's good to be here this morning. And some things change, some things don't. I'm still a quiet speaker, and I rely on the microphone. So it sounds like it's working pretty good. So... All right, I'll turn this thing on. Well, you can open to Galatians 1 if you'd like to. And I want to be sure to bring the greetings I was given from Kingsport and from Gabe. Everyone there sends their greetings, and thankful for Donnie's invitation to come. I know that it is a burden. It's a heavy weight on him to have someone come and fill this pulpit. And I'm thankful for the confidence he's laid upon me, and I pray the Lord will enable me to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, that we're not here meeting in vain, and that he'll bless us with his spirit that we might worship this morning. I don't know, some of y'all have been to Kingsport, some of you haven't, but Kingsport, there's a lot of history between us there. Many of us have roots that go back to Franklin, Tennessee. That's where I grew up with Gabe for quite a while. And as I was thinking on it, preparing for this message, started thinking about the folks there that have strong ties here. Like Houston said, I used to sit right over there. Eddie and Karen Baker used to be, I don't remember where they sat. They used to be here. Eric and Jessica Freeman were here. Cody, Rachel, come from here. Several others. Tony Moody has a very special love for this congregation and this place. The first conference he came to was here. And he just often remembers coming here, and all of them that have been able to travel to the conference here. And as I was thinking through all this, I remembered when Gabe was called as pastor over there. This congregation sent support to that congregation to help them get started, to support Gabe and that congregation there. And when the building was being built, this congregation faithfully sent financial support for that building. The pews that we sit in, that my family particularly sits in, came from this building. I've wondered from time to time if I'm not sitting in the same seat I sat in all these years. Gifts of love, gifts of support, gifts of remembrance. If you haven't met folks from Kingsport, and you meet them and they find out you come from Crossville, those that know the history will have an immediate relationship established there. They know the love that you've shown to them. And meeting strangers, that generosity will stand out and give them a relationship that's not readily apparent, but it will be there. Generosity, gifts, showing of love. Have you ever sat down and really thought about the generosity of our God? We know that God gives all things. But as I started reading over the things that God has recorded that he has given, my soul found yet another reason to glorify his name. Just listen to a few things that are recorded in Job and the Psalms that God gives. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. He giveth songs in the night, and by the breath of God frost is given. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. He giveth strength and power unto his people. He gave ear unto me. The Lord will give grace and glory. The Lord shall give that which is good. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. He giveth food to the hungry. And this one's special. The Lord gave the word. The Lord gave us the written word. And he gave us the living word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Galatians 1, let's read the first five verses together, and our text will be verses 4 and 5. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord is not like us. He gives in abundance. Even when we give, our giving is so restrained. Can't give too much. Might be abused. Can't give too much. I got to have a little. He gives in abundance. Lord willing, this morning, we will look at his giving of himself in regards to his manner, the manner in which he gave himself. His gift, what he gave, and his purpose in giving. First, let's look at the manner in which he gave himself. In Matthew 5:17, our Lord said, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." The way in which he gave himself is revealed throughout Scripture. You can put a bookmark here in Galatians if you want to. We'll come back later. But for right now, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just a few pages back. 2 Corinthians 9. The way in which our Lord gave himself is recorded throughout Scripture. And here in 2 Corinthians 9, it says, Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. From this text, we see that our Lord gave himself with purpose, willingly, and cheerfully. Our Lord gave himself with a purpose. He didn't give himself with a general, "I'm gonna try to make salvation possible." He gave himself on and with purpose. What was that purpose? "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people." That's his purpose, to save his people. That which he set out to do, he finished it. He gave himself willingly, not grudgingly or of necessity. You know, as children or on the job, there are times we are forced to do something. There's something unpleasant that has to be done. And the boss comes to you and says, you're going to do this. You don't go about it willingly. You are forced. That is your responsibility. Your duty has to be done. As a child, and I imagine every one of us in here can still hear this phrase. Your mother walks in and says, clean your room. Oh, the horror. Have you seen my room? Clean your room. That's not something you do willingly. You are forced to do it. Our Lord undertook for us our salvation willingly. His hand wasn't forced. He wasn't under a law that said, you must do this. He gave himself willingly. And he gave himself cheerfully. As I looked up that word, one of the definitions of cheerful is prompt to do anything. When I read that definition, my thoughts went to Isaiah. When Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, and when he heard the message, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glories. After these things, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? The question hardly being asked, Isaiah replied, here am I, send me. He didn't hesitate. He didn't do a cost-benefit analysis to see if this was going to work out in his favor or not. He didn't consider the difficulties that he might endure. He immediately said, here am I, send me. When the great call went out in eternity, how can God be just and justify sinners? Our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, gave himself purposefully, willingly, and cheerfully, being fully aware of the penalty that must be paid. He gave himself without hesitation. Here am I, send me. In Matthew 6, our Lord gave instruction for the giving of alms. Alms are separate from tithes. Tithes were required under the law. Alms are, in our language, they're donations. They're not legal requirements. They're gifts of mercy or gifts of pity. In Matthew 6, he said, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Do not sound a trumpet before thee, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. God gave his only begotten Son as a mercy gift. And when he came into this world, he didn't come with pomp and ceremony. He didn't come to be set up on a temporal throne to be admired by our natural flesh. He came in the world despised and rejected of men. The everlasting King of glory, he who all of heaven worships and adores, made himself of no reputation. He gave himself humbly. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. Excuse me. Every man, according to this law, was to give as he is able. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the fulfiller of the law, did not stop at the legal requirement of tithing of 10%. He didn't come to make salvation possible by him taking the first step and you doing the rest. He didn't come and give himself so that he completed 99.99% of our salvation, and all you have to do is let Jesus save you to be redeemed. He gave himself. God Almighty gave all of himself. I don't think we can ever fathom the fullness of that statement. I imagine all of eternity will be spent with us in absolute wonder and awe that God gave himself according to his ability. He gave himself completely. He finished the work. Jesus Christ, our Lord, gave himself with purpose, willingly, cheerfully, humbly, completely. What did he give himself to? What is his gift? First, he gave himself to the Father's will. Turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 38. John 6, 38. Our Lord says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Father's will is to save those whom he had lovingly elected in Christ Jesus, and those that he gave himself for. Excuse me. All that was required for their salvation, for those that the Father lovingly elected in Christ Jesus, he gave himself to. He gave himself to the work. Back a couple of pages, John 4, verse 34 says, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He gave himself to the fulfillment of the law as the substitute for those the Father gave him. Then, having accomplished that work, he gave his back to the smiters. He gave his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. He hid not his face from shame and spitting. He gave himself into Pilate's judgment. He gave himself into our wicked hands to be crucified and slain. He gave himself to be forsaken of the Father, to endure the judgment and the wrath reserved for sinners before God. He gave himself, and life himself gave up the ghost. He gave himself into the tomb. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, gave himself purposefully, willingly, cheerfully, humbly, and completely as a sin offering for this guilty, wretched sinner and for all those that the Father chose in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. He gave himself the gift of God. Finally, what is the cause? What is the purpose for which Christ came and gave himself? Let's go back to our text, Galatians 1. Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Christ gave himself for our sins. It is our sins that have separated us from God and our sins that have us condemned. In giving himself, he did that which we cannot do. He kept his law perfectly. As a man, as a servant, he lived under the law's rule, and he earned a righteousness under it. God is righteous. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is righteous. The man, Jesus, obtained righteousness, not for himself. He is righteous, yet he obtained, he worked for it, he earned it, he earned righteousness. He gave himself completely as a man. Having earned righteousness, he didn't stop there, as if to say, it's been proven, a man can obtain righteousness. A man can fulfill the law. He paid the penalty of our transgressions in full. He who knew no sin was made sin. He bore the curse in his body. He shed his blood. He laid down his life. He went into the tomb. He did all of this as my substitute? Why did God give himself? First, for our sins, and then that he might deliver us. Who needs deliverance? Really, if you think about it, who is in need of deliverance? You go into a jail. You go in to where they keep prisoners, bound and confined in their jail cell. You're on the outside. You come and go freely. A man in that cell is bound. He's confined. He's contained. Do you need deliverance? No. The man that is held captive needs deliverance. All of mankind is captive, but few know it. We are held captive by our sin. We are bound in our debt and in our rebellion against God. Until God is pleased to reveal to us that we are by nature, what we are by nature, rebels, bound and confined, we will remain in that condition. But our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world. What are we bound captive to? This present evil world. What do we need deliverance from? This present evil world. That's what by nature we love. This present evil world. What does that deliverance look like? To be freed from this present evil world. What's that look like? Is it health, wealth, and prosperity? Oh, the trouble. But to be delivered from this present evil world is to be freed from its influence, to stop chasing after the things of this world, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is the kingdom of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that I might have a heart to seek after him. We still, even after the Lord frees us, delivers us from this present evil world, we still have to endure this life in the flesh. But our affections are changed. They're not set upon things that are fleeing of this world. But our affections are set on the things of Christ. We seek him and his righteousness. He gave himself according to the will of God and our Father. Why did Christ give himself? Purposefully, willingly, cheerfully, humbly, and completely? In fulfillment of the Father's will, God the Father purposed to save sinners. Sinners that he in loving kindness chose in Christ Jesus. In order to do so, it is necessary to fulfill the law, to fulfill justice, to fulfill holiness, righteousness. It is necessary that the sin of those he chose be completely paid. The wages of sin is death. God the Son gave himself according to the will of God, and because of him, we, chosen, lovingly elected, redeemed sinners, are blessed to call the God of heaven and earth our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. He gave himself. He accomplished salvation. He finished the work. He receives all the glory. Amen. God gave himself. You know, I started out by saying, strangers you've not met in Kingsport will immediately have a loving relationship knowing you came from Crossville for the gifts of love that you gave. Our God has given himself in love. Oh, that we could love him as he deserves. Amen. Houston.
Thank you, brother. Let's have a word of prayer. Our most high and heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, all righteous, all powerful, all knowing, all merciful, all gracious, Father, thank you for the message that we have just heard. We ask that you would bless it to our hearts, cause us not to soon forget the love of God. The love Christ showed for his sheep. The love that he continually shows us. Lord, cause us to love you as we should, as you have first loved us. We ask that you would bless our day, Lord, and that you would cause us to gather again this evening to hear your gospel once more. We ask most of all that thy will be done for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's stand together, and in our little course book here, on page 2, page 2 in our course book.
Shall soon be glorified.
this evening, Lord willing, you're dismissed.